Hey there, welcome back to another episode of Foot Traffic. Today, I get to interview one of my clients, Nikki Krozik. Now, actually, I paid Nikki ever before she paid me. She was somebody that I would go to for copywriting. And now she's so successful, she does not need to be writing copy for me. Unfortunately, that's what happens with the power of funnels. You don't need to do done for you work anymore. But don't worry, she's given me some great referrals because Nikki teaches other copywriters how to start a business and just how to start a copywriting business. And she's one to watch. She's been somebody that I have been in awe of watching her in 2020. She has had a record-breaking year. Her business, I think she says on the podcast, she 40X'd her business over the last year or maybe two. I don't know. But all I will say is she has built this incredible million-dollar business. And she's somebody who she self-proclaimed a little bit lazy. So let's dive in to hear how she's done, what she's done with one funnel, you guys. One funnel, one $500 product, $1 million business. Sounds pretty good, right? So let's jump into Nikki's episode. Growing your business doesn't have to be difficult. It's all about mastering a few key techniques, systems, and mindset. Welcome to Foot Traffic. With over a million downloads, it's the go-to marketing podcast dedicated to helping you grow your small business. I'm your host, Stacey Tuschel. I've been an entrepreneur for over 15 years, and I own multiple seven-figure businesses. Together, you and I are going to get you more customers in the door, more profit in your pocket, and more happiness in your home. Let's transform your business starting right now. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Foot Traffic. I am here with Nikki Krozik, who is a copywriter, and she is somebody that I don't want to say hasn't been affected by COVID because I think we've all been affected in some way or another, but still really a record-breaking year for you. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Which is exciting. And I want to share with people like what this could look like and why I think you've been so successful and just some areas that we want to dive into. Before we do that, can you just share your entrepreneurial journey with us a little bit? Some people may have heard you on the show before, but I'd love to kind of have you just share like how long you've been doing this and what this looks like and what the last few years have looked like for you.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. I have been a copywriter for more than 15 years, which every time I say it, I'm like, how is that possible? But it's true. And I've written copy for, you know, big companies, TJ Maxx, TripAdvisor, Adidas, smaller companies, and then some powerhouses in between like yourself, for example. Mm-hmm. And then about 7 or 8 years ago, I had to pull a team together of copywriters. And what I ended up doing was teaching them essentially how to write copy. And when I was done and they were ramped up and ready to do the work, I thought, you know what, there should be something like this out there. Because I kind of learned a lot on my own. I learned some from my dad, who was a marketing director. But yeah, what it came down to is about 7 or 8 years ago, I put together a course or put together the beginnings of a course mm-hmm. that taught everything I would have wanted to know when I was getting started, how to write copy, but also how to build a portfolio and build experience and find clients and all that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I love this. Now, how long ago did you actually start your digital product?
Yeah, I want to say it was like 8 years ago. We're looking at 2012.
Wow, you're like an OG in this digital space. That's impressive. Okay, so 8 years ago, but can you kind of explain like what has happened for you in the last few years, like what that has looked like?
Yeah, the last few years have been really explosive growth.
That was the exact phrase I was just going to say.
Mm-hmm. It's really true, which I'm so grateful for. And I'm even more grateful that the work that we do really helps people build their own careers. Mm-hmm. So that's wonderful as well. Yeah. But yeah, you know, when I was first getting started, there was a lot of kind of dabbling and thinking, well, I'll start a course but kind of treating it more like a hobby than an actual business. Mm-hmm. And it was really at the end of 2018 that I got serious about it. And I put together a funnel that it's just really effective. You know, it mm-hmm. tells people what they need to know. It gets them familiar with me. It gets them familiar with copywriting and the opportunities. And, you know, by the end of it, not everyone, of course, because that's not how business works, but the right people identify that this is right for them. I'm the right person to learn it from. And they purchase and then start working with us.
Yeah. So, and share only numbers you feel comfortable publicly sharing, but where do you see this year taking you?
This year, over the past 2 years, I will have 40x'd my business. 40. Mm-hmm.
Unreal.
Yeah.
So here's what I want people to hear. For about 5 years, you dabbled. Mm-hmm. That's a long time to dabble before letting your business really truly take off, which is why most businesses don't make it past the 5 year mark. Mm-hmm. So imagine if you were to give up on that dabble, that 5 year journey of like, yeah, this is doing okay. What did those 5 years look like? Like financially, were you happy? Were you struggling? Like what did that look like?
It was doing a lot of the work in the part-time hours. You know, I would be okay. full-time, or I was full-time freelance. And so I would do the work on the nights and weekends, which is fine, but I really treated it so much more like a hobby. I was still teaching students. And even okay. back then I was seeing my students were seeing really, really great results. So I knew that there was something to it, which is part mm-hmm. of why I didn't give up, because I knew yeah. that it was worth my time. And just as important, if not more important, I knew it was worth it for my students.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and if anything, I feel like more people think, well, I need more products. I need more programs. I need more funnels. And you've gotten more successful and you've gotten rid of things. You are down to like one funnel, one product. Like you literally have just this one major focus. Can you talk about like what that transition has looked like?
Yeah, absolutely. I did. I used to have multiple funnels, and then trying to connect them up was very complicated. And I, because mm-hmm. you don't want people getting two or maybe three emails from you in one day.
Yeah.
I used to have multiple funnels, and I used to be playing with, you know, different ways for them to access the course and all that kind of thing. And what I ended up doing was really, really simplifying, getting super focused on what was working. And the funny thing is it was hard for me to give up some of those funnels,
yeah.
mostly because I had had them for so long. You know, okay. I had a dedicated waitlist funnel and a dedicated oh. ebook funnel. And then I had a dedicated training funnel, and the training funnel was what made all the difference. But for some reason, it was hard for me to give up on the waitlist funnel and the ebook funnel, just because I'd had them for so long.
Yeah. And I think we know not everybody gets the one funnel. Like, well, what if they want that one instead? Or what if this one could go here? So you just feel like you're leaving money on the table by getting rid of them, when in fact you left lots and lots of money on the table while having those, right?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Well, and actually I've changed it up so that my ebook funnel, they still get the ebook because that was okay. popular.
Yeah.
And now it feeds into my training funnel.
Okay.
There's still options.
Okay. I love this. So let's just break down, like, what does your funnel look like? Like, can you just kind of give a simple, like 50,000 foot view of what you're kind of doing?
Absolutely. So people sign up to get a free training, and they have 4 days to access that free training. And like I said, in the free training, it goes through everything that they need to know in order to make the decision, basically. And then for those 4 days as well, they're getting reminders, they're getting additional information, just being nurtured a little bit yeah. more, but also reminded to go back and watch it, because you want that timing deadline. Otherwise people don't take action on that.
Yeah.
And then after that, the fast action price closes, and then there's some more nurturing emails, and then the full enrollment opens.
Okay.
And then from there, they're into another longer sales cycle. But
and with that fast action price point, what price point are you offering them on the training?
Mm-hmm. It's $497.
Mm-hmm. So I think when people hear like a $500 product, one product, $500, I think people can't fathom having $1 million plus business on a $500 product. Like the math just to them doesn't seem realistic. Mm-hmm. So knowing that it clearly is very possible, and I don't even see a limit on this. That's the crazy part, right? What is something like, do you feel like you've picked a sweet spot price? Do you feel like you're just in a major, like an amazing niche? Like, what do you think are some of your like hidden secrets that just worked out in your favor?
I do think the pricing is good because it makes me competitive, but at the same time, it's not low enough that like just anyone's hopping in to try it out. Because one of the great things about our community is that people are actually really focused on learning copywriting and practicing and sharing and giving feedback. So you get an element of seriousness to it, but because of the price, but it's not so low that, like I said, anybody's hopping in, but still accessible for many people.
Totally. And let's not forget that Nikki is a copywriter. Like, we have to remember that if you're not great at copy, you need to make sure you have a good copywriter writing these emails, because Nikki just happens to be able to have a skill set of doing these 4 days of, you said it was like a 4 day nurture after. Remember, you guys, like, she is trained to get people to take action and have that work in those 4 days. So if you don't have that skill set, you need to make sure you're hiring out that skill set.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I just want to make sure we don't forget that you happen to be somebody like that. Now, I will say, one thing that I think people should know too is you're running your own Facebook ads.
Mm-hmm. I am.
So were you naturally tech savvy? How was that getting started? Did you get started because you're like, oh, this will be easy, or because you didn't want to spend the money? Like, what's the story behind that?
I got started with it because I knew that even if I eventually wanted to outsource it, I wanted to understand what someone was doing.
Okay.
You know, I'm never comfortable with giving up control completely and just being like, here's my money, make it happen. You know, even if it's someone fantastic like Michelle, whom we both know, who is amazing and I trust explicitly, I still want to know how it works. And the more I dug into it, the more I have enjoyed, even when it's frustrating, even when, you know, the costs are crazy as they are right now, I enjoy going in and tweaking it and playing with it and figuring out what messaging is going to resonate with what audiences.
Did that surprise you that you'd be good at that?
I wouldn't say, well, on one hand, so much of it is messaging that, you know, that makes sense to me. That's my wheelhouse.
Yeah. Okay.
But I think what surprised me is how much fun I find playing with these numbers and fine tuning it, you know, setting aside the fact that it's money.
Yeah.
There's almost like a game like aspect to it, you know,
like it becomes addicting. Like, can I get 1% better? Can I do this? Oh, that didn't work. Let's go back. Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Okay. That was really good to hear, because I do think people, need to hear too, like, you don't have a massive team either. Mm-mm. How many people do you have? Are you all contractors? What does that look like? And again, only what you feel comfortable sharing.
Oh yeah, absolutely. No, we started out as all contractors. But now we have, one person on, I mean, obviously Mia was my first employee, very exciting. But then we have one other person on staff and one more person who's going to be coming on staff this month. So, total of four. Not a big team, but we're also all kind of working on a bunch of different stuff. It's great.
Yeah. Well, and now you have the opportunity to really grow it with the right people and the people that you want in there. But I want people to see that you don't have to make this really complicated. Mm-mm. Like, when I look at you and I look at your business, I really see the simplicity of it, but I think that's your, that's your asset, right?
Yeah.
You did a lot of things different that I see it being so amazing for you that it worked out in your favor.
I joke with some of my other business owning friends that I'm lazy. Like, oh, I could, you know, I could set up a Facebook group to nurture potential clients. I could do this. I could do that. But like, I don't want to.
Right.
We joke that I take a nap and I make a sale, you know?
Yeah. And I do think too, it shows you don't have to. You could have a Facebook group, but you don't have to have a Facebook group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
The finding one thing that really worked and then getting really focused on that and then finding additional ways to bring people into that funnel has been so successful for me.
Let's talk about that, and not in a negative way, but you don't have a massive visibility plan besides your paid traffic, unless I'm incorrect. Can you kind of share with us, like, what does your traffic look like so people can see, like, what do I have to do and what is a, like, okay, I could pass on that or maybe a little bit later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have, you know, social media, we have Facebook and Instagram, Twitter that I nominally use.
I forget that I'm even on Twitter. I don't know where it's even hooked up.
Yeah.
I know.
And, you know, like I said, we run Facebook ads, and really that's our primary ads, our ad spend right now. We're going to be moving into Google, and because I'm going to have more people on my team, moving into Google and then even getting more serious about Instagram ads and other things.
Yeah.
And beyond that, we will be, sorry about that. That's we okay. will be starting a podcast, but okay. right now it's pretty limited. I think
yeah.
what people, more than having it be across a bunch of different channels, what people really appreciate is me showing up in a genuine way on the channels that we're currently on yeah. Facebook, on Instagram, started doing more Instagram lives, mm-hmm. Just so people can see that I'm a real person. They're learning from a real person.
Yeah. And I love that because the podcast is in the works, but it isn't right now. It's not the thing that made you successful. It's not like it blew up the business, right? Your strategy has been very, just like you said, picking Facebook and Instagram, focusing there, and then running paid traffic. And that's all you needed to have this amazing, successful business. That's incredible.
Yeah.
It's, so all the people like on Pinterest and YouTube and Twitter and Periscope and TikTok, it's like, you don't need to.
Yeah. I hear that.
Proof of that.
Yeah. I hear those strategies and it exhausts, just the idea of doing all yeah. that stuff exhausts me.
So what are some lessons learned? I mean, because you've been doing this now for a while, what are some things you'd go back and tell yourself? Anything that comes to mind?
The number one thing that I would go back and tell myself is you have to start treating your business like a business. Mm-hmm. But even just be like, what does that mean? I started making decisions the way the CEO of a company would make decisions. You know, when it's just you, when you're, you know, a solopreneur, it's kind of, yeah. when you're treating it like a hobby, it's easy to be like, well, I don't want to do that today. I don't feel like doing that today. But when you were the CEO of the business or reporting to the CEO, that's not an option. Like if mm-hmm. you don't do that work, then the company yeah. doesn't succeed. You know, in looking at that from the other sense, if you were the employee for, yes, yourself as the CEO, but if you were the employee and you didn't get that work done, you get fired. Yeah. You know, you don't want to keep yourself on staff if you're not doing the work. So it was kind of removing myself from, because let's face it, we're even, yeah. I know that at the level that I'm at and the level that you're at, there's still stuff that we get nervous about doing or mm-hmm. we don't want to do or things like that. But yeah. you have to put that, the fear or the discomfort aside and step out of your comfort zone and do what needs to be done for the business. I think that's
yeah.
the number one thing that's made a huge difference for me.
Yeah, I love that. And I think too, you'll start to see like as you bring on team members who you like and you enjoy and you hired for a reason, sometimes there's very difficult conversations and there are just things you just don't want to tell them to their face, but you know you have to, right? Yeah. You have to make those hard decisions and it does start to get a little tougher, but so worth it and so rewarding at the same time.
Oh yeah, I love what I do. I love like every day. Well, not every day, but most days I love it.
Yeah. All right, 2020. It has been a year that most people are just ready to be done with. Maybe you feel the same way too, but you've also had a record-breaking year, which helps, I think, when you're in the middle of a pandemic. Mm-hmm. So is there anything that 2020 has taught you? Good, bad, I mean, it doesn't matter. Just like what has 2020 done for you specifically?
Yeah, I think probably like everybody else, I have had a spectacular year, but I am ready for a little bit more stability.
Yeah.
But I think the thing that it has taught me is don't make assumptions about what's mm-hmm. going to happen based on what you hear in the news or based on, you know, you and I were talking about it going into March, April. I thought, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to dial back my ad spend. I'm going to have to, who knows if I'll be able to keep my contractors because they were all contractors at that yeah. point. And then I had some of the best months yeah. I've ever had. I hope to surpass those eventually, but
yes.
If I had made that assumption, instead of watching my numbers, watching what was happening with the traffic, watching what people were, mm-hmm. What was actually happening in the real world versus the news or all that yeah. kind of thing, I would have really missed out on an opportunity to make sales, yes, but also yeah. to help people build careers that have helped right. them get through job loss. And
yes.
it's been amazing.
That trickle effect of what we're doing, right? It's like, the more we make money, the more we teach people how to make money and survive and have security in a crazy world right now. So it is really amazing what we both get to do in that sense. And yeah, I remember that conversation of like, what is this going to be? And then like a week or two later, you going, at the time it was your record week or record month. You're like, I can't believe this is happening. But it started to make, I think people had to start having real conversations like within. Am I going to do this? Am I not? Am I going to move forward? Where do I want to be? And I think you attract people that want to see the opportunity and they want to go for it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's been huge. Now, okay, so 2020, you've got, oh, this is something too, how I said in the beginning, obviously COVID, I'm sure, has impacted you in some way. Well, it definitely has, because your Facebook ad spend, I assume, goes up and down, or all this craziness, right? So of right there, of course, it is dipping into profits when it goes up. So you can still have a successful year. You can still have amazing numbers, but you can still be impacted, right? It can definitely still hit some more than others. So that's what I want people to hear. As we're recording this, it's Q4. We're like home stretch, like we're almost there, but who knows what 2021 will look like. What is in the works for you? What are you thinking about? Like, now that you're kind of in this place in 2020, where will that take you in 2021?
So focusing on my one business and my one course has been very much key to my success. Yeah. The nice thing too is that—
Has that been 3 years? Sorry to interrupt you. 3 years of focus. How long?
Well, closer to two. I would say, okay. Yeah, two.
But that, I think, is a miracle right there, because I don't think most people can say they've had one thing for 2 years. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They get shiny object too fast.
Yeah, exactly. But focusing on that one thing has been very key to my growth. But the nice thing is that, especially with the team I have now, in a lot of ways, I mean, I'm still very much interacting with my students, yeah, and coaching them, but a lot of it kind of chugs along on its own now.
Okay.
So the broader focus over the next year and the next couple of years is we're going to be adding additional courses. But the key is going to be that same single-minded focus, which I know sounds kind of crazy to have. Well, you have multiples, how can you have focus? But, and I know this is kind of similar to how your business journey has been. Yeah. You have to have supreme focus on one thing until it is up and going at a really successful, steady rate. And then you can take a little bit of that focus over to build something else and get it to that same place.
And now that you've got team members coming on board, there's people that can share that focus. So like, we have somebody on our team that their one thing is Foot Traffic Formula, even though we also have Powerhouse, but we have somebody in Foot Traffic that's like their one thing is Powerhouse, right?
Yeah.
So you can start to like delegate the one thing where it becomes their one thing. When you don't have somebody focusing on that one product or that baby, right? All of a sudden it gets neglected, right? You forget about it. You're starting to see people are leaving because they're not happy with it or something like that. So I want people to hear that you've been working on your team. You're going to be actively growing your team, and that helps you spread your focus.
Yeah. There's no way I could even begin to think about doing something else without having a team that I know is there to just alert me, you know, if stuff pops up in the Facebook group or if there are, I can still hop in and deal with anything that needs to be dealt with. But no, you have to have that solid team that you've built up that you know you can rely on.
For sure. Now, I want to ask you, I'm going to go back for a second. When you said you were treating it like a hobby and not a business, and this was more like a side hustle, were you working, doing something else, or were you just doing like done for you? What did that look like?
What I was doing for my full-time kind of
day?
Yeah. Yeah, I was, for part of it, I was on staff as a copywriter, always freelancing as a copywriter, and then additionally building the course. And then, you know, part of it, I was full-time freelance and building the course, but it was, I always kind of felt like, oh, if I can just find the key, and the key wasn't anything in like how I do the course or what I had in the course. The key was how I treated the course and how I presented the course to people.
And when you first launched this a couple of years ago, did it take off right away? Like, was it immediately successful, or did it take you a little while? Like, what did that look like?
When I made the switch over to how people get into it, when I started up that funnel, then I started to see very rapid growth.
Interesting. Yeah. So you had funnels before, but all of a sudden the right funnel scaled it.
Mm-hmm. The right funnel with the right messaging.
Mm-hmm. Ugh, so good. Yeah. And that's what people need to hear. Like, I will have somebody come into Foot Traffic. They will build one funnel and they're like, this doesn't work. I'm like, wait a minute. You don't get to build it one. It's like doing like one billboard or going to one farmer's market or like one Facebook ad. You're like, nope, doesn't work. Not for my business. There's so much testing. So thank you for sharing that you had a few funnels going and it was like, finally you nailed it. Right funnel scaling?
Well, and over the course of 8 years, I played around a lot with a lot of different funnels and a lot of, I mean, again, I probably could have definitely shaved some time off of those 8 years or you know, 6 years to the point of success. But
I think we all could argue we could be shaving off a little bit of time if we would have just listened to a few things.
Yeah. But there has to be an element of experimentation and listening to your customers and crafting and recrafting until you really get it right. And even now, I wouldn't say it's 100% right. You know, nothing is perfect.
When did you know that this funnel was the funnel?
You know, the funny thing is I think when I was crafting the training, that's kind of the linchpin of the funnel. As I was crafting the training, I really liked what I was putting into it. I liked the myths that I was busting. I liked the stories that I was telling. And also I was including things that over the years I had said here and there and people, it resonated with people. And to have a place where I could put it all together, where they're watching a training, but they're kind of going on a journey with me as they understand more and more and more about their opportunities and about my story and why I'm so passionate about both copywriting and teaching copywriting. Yeah. I think as I was putting together that training, it resonated with me, and putting myself in other people's shoes, it felt like it would be fun and eye-opening.
Well, and if you're excited to teach it, the energy you bring is going to be very different.
Yeah. There are so many pervasive myths about copywriting or just writing in general that even just having the opportunity to bust those myths and to say, look, no, here's a totally different way of living your life. If you want to be a writer is awesome.
Now, when you started running Facebook ads, what kind of daily budget would you have spent? Like, were you immediately gambling? Were you testing small? Like, what did day one look like for you?
Oh, I was definitely testing small. Definitely. Okay. You know, it was like $5 a day.
Back then you probably could get away with $5 a day.
Yeah,
today, not
exactly.
So much.
Oh my God. No, no. Especially not at this moment pre-election.
Yeah. No.
Okay. No, but I will say that I also was kind of playing with Facebook ads, and it wasn't really until I understood the numbers and kind of worked back like, okay, well, if it's a 2% conversion rate and I'm getting this many people to the sales page and I'm getting this many percentage, and I know that this is stuff that you take all of your students through, so I won't go into it too deeply.
Well, but it's important to hear, like, you're just tracking the whole time. You're tracking, you're reverse engineering. All the numbers you're saying is part of the formula to get you there.
Exactly. I mean, because I would run, you know, I run $10 a day or run $20 a day and go, I don't understand why I don't have an 8-figure business yet. But when you finally go back and figure out where your numbers have to be, when you figure out, okay, how much does my spend actually have to be six figures? Okay, multiple six figures. Okay, 7 figures. Once you really understand, it's not even all that complicated once you But once you understand it, then you actually understand how much you need to be spending. And it is a little scary when you start to scale up in your Facebook.
What are some monumental numbers that you're like, I can't believe I spent this much money on Facebook today?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Is there anything that like sticks out in your mind of like, that was a milestone?
I don't know if I definitely had our biggest spend yet last month, which was I can't even remember exactly how much, but let's just say it was very high. I have to pay our corporate credit card twice a month because of the
limit.
Exactly. And I keep calling them every month being like, I need more money. I need more money.
Okay. That is so annoying, especially when you're paying it off. It's like, clearly I have the money. Please up my limit.
Exactly. Paying it off twice a month in full twice a month.
Right. Hello. Wow. Yeah. That is crazy, I'm not surprised. Well, and that's the thing. It becomes a numbers game. So you just keep throwing money at Facebook because you're getting money back from Facebook. So it just doesn't, like, the sky's the limit. And that's why it continues to scale as fast as it has.
Exactly. Yeah. And actually I remember it. Now this was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Comparatively, but I remember the first time I surpassed a mortgage payment in a single day in Facebook ads. I was like, oh my God.
And it's so funny too, when people who don't understand, like, I remember I was using a CPA at the time that was not in this world. I don't use them anymore because they need to know this world. But he was like, what is going on with Facebook? What are you doing with them? Like, I had this like secret world behind, because like his regular brick and mortar people were not using Facebook ads the way I was. And he was getting scared for me, which is why I had to go to somebody that it was like, oh no, this is normal. You're totally fine. She's not being reckless with her credit card here. That is so funny. Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing. It's like, some people people could never fathom spending a mortgage payment today on Facebook ads. Mm-hmm. And now you've probably spent way more than that. Yes. I love it. Okay. Nikki, if somebody happens to be a copywriter or is even thinking about getting into copywriting, where could they go find you and all of your goodness? Or somebody who's just like, I want to go stalk Nikki because she sounds amazing.
Stalk me. I'm around. You can find me at Nikki Copy, N-I-C-K-I Copy on Instagram. Filthy Rich Writer across all of the socials. And then if you actually are interested in becoming a copywriter, you can find our free training at freecopywritingtraining.com.
Amazing. Nikki, thank you so much for coming on today. I just love sharing real stories of people that are doing it, right? Not overnight success stories, real working entrepreneurs who've had the ups and downs. So I appreciate you coming on and sharing your story today. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, before you go, have you considered joining us in our next 30-day bootcamp? If you are loving the Foot Traffic Podcast, then you will love the Beginner Bootcamp, where we help you build your first marketing funnel in just 30 days, and it's only $97. Hurry and register at stacytushel.com/bootcamp to sign up for our next live bootcamp starting on the 1st.